I want to read just a little bit from the second chapter of the book of St. Luke. This is kind of an unusual text. But we're entering into the Christmas season, just about ready for Thanksgiving, I believe. We're entering into the Christmas season, and won't be long that everybody will be acknowledging this. But I want to read something here. First, I'd like to read from St. Luke. This is the first chapter of St. Luke, fifth verse. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my word, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. They perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. It came to pass that as soon as the days of his administration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born to thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats. He hath exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel, and in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. The fourth verse, the second chapter. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth in Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I want you to notice something here concerning Zechariah. First of all, in the 37th verse, it says here, For with God nothing shall be impossible. So then, if you'll notice, God, though he had listened to the prayer of Zechariah, and evidently Zechariah had offered faith, and though God had answered his faith, in that he said, I'm giving you an Elizabeth a son, yet at the same time, because Zechariah asked for a sign, God was upset about it. And so then, looking at this, we see that God doesn't like unbelief. See, he said, and nothing shall be impossible unto God. The thing that displeased God was Sarah in the days of Abraham was that when God said to Abraham, I'm going to give Sarah a son. At the time of life, I will return unto her, and she shall have a son. Though she was past bearing, yet the Bible says that God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, Abraham. And Abraham never questioned God. The Bible said that Abraham was strong in faith, giving glory unto God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised that he was able also to perform. And so then he never questioned God. When God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, Abraham accepted it. He didn't question God. What God said, he said, I believe it. If you said it, I believe it. But Sarah, back over in the tent, hearing these things, she questioned these things in her mind and she doubted. And she said, I, being old, my Lord also being old, shall we have pleasure in our old age? That is, can it be that we actually will have a son? And she doubted, but the angel, being very perceptive, said to Abraham, why did Sarah do this? Why did Sarah do that? And it disturbed him. And it scared Sarah. Because she knew that God knew the very thoughts of her heart. And this had happened in her heart. No one could have known it but God. And see, the same thing happens here. The angel says to Zechariah, Zechariah, I've come to tell you the good news. God's going to give a son to you. Your wife is going to conceive. She's going to bear you a son. And even though she was barren, God brought it to pass. For the Bible said, and nothing shall be impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. For God to give Abraham and Sarah a son, he had to renew Abraham's youth. And had to renew Sarah's youth. But he did it. He did it. Someone would say, well, I don't really believe that, Brother Pike. I don't really believe that God renewed Abraham's youth. Well, there's one thing about it. Abraham had three different wives, even after Sarah's decease. Even after Sarah had gone on, he married another woman, Keturah, and there he had children. See, it's evident that God did renew the youth of Abraham. And he renewed the youth of Sarah. For there shall nothing be impossible with God. There is nothing impossible with God. And not only is there nothing impossible with God, but the Bible said to him that believeth, nothing shall be impossible unto him. See, if you come to the place in your life to where you can believe, then there isn't going to be anything impossible with you. God will do the same thing for you if you can believe. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, it doesn't matter what it is, if you can believe, he said, I will do it. When you pray, if you have aught against any, then forgive, lest you forgive other men their trespasses from your heart. The Bible said God will not forgive you your trespasses. So he said when you're praying, the first thing to do to make faith work, he said, is to get unbelief out of the way to the extent that you forgive anyone that's trespassed against you. Remember, I tell you again, this is hard for some people to get a hold of, but remember this one thing. That is that you that are born of God cannot sin. So then you that are born of God cannot sin. If a person cannot sin, then they don't have to worry about sin causing unbelief because they can't sin to begin with. A person that is born of God cannot sin. He that is born of God, the Bible said he keepeth himself and the evil one toucheth him not. Never at any time does Lucifer ever touch you when you're born of God. By predestination, you're sealed in. By foreknowledge of God, you're God's elect under grace and salvation. So then you don't have to worry about that. But there's one thing that we do have to do. We have to pray to God, Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So then we do have to have forgiveness of our trespasses. We do trespass against people. You know, he says, sign up out here. It says, private property, no trespassing. You go and trespass, and the first news you know, you're in trouble with the law. For because you've trespassed, then you've become a transgressor of the law. So then there is a trespass with us as to a trespass in God. We're not a transgressor of the law to the extent that the law has been folded up and laid away. And we cannot transgress the law. Since transgression of the law is sin, then we cannot sin. Because where there's no law, there's no transgression. And where there's no transgression, there's no sin. And where there's no sin, there's no death. But the Bible said we pass from death unto life because we know this because we love one another or we love the brethren. We pass from death unto life because where there's no transgression of the law, there is no sin. Where there's no sin, there is no death, because the sting of death is sin. And where there's no transgression of the law, there is no sin. And where there's no sin, there is no death. So then we see this, that we only pray to God, Father, forgive us our trespasses. So then when we go to God and we want faith in God, then the first thing that we have to do is look around. Do we have anything against anybody? Are we holding a grudge against anybody? Are we pouting with anybody? Have we found fault with anybody? Are we forgiving those their trespasses that trespassed against us, that God might forgive us our trespasses? Not in an intellectual thing, but from our heart, are we forgiving those that have trespassed against us? If we're forgiving those that have trespassed against us, from my heart, then God will forgive our trespasses. So then nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. To all that believe, the Bible said all things are possible to them that believe. If you desire anything, Jesus said when you get down on your knees to pray, or when you pray standing, he said if you desire anything, ask God for it. He said believe that you receive it. And because you believe that you receive it, he said, ye shall have it. And he said, if you decree a thing in your heart and don't doubt, it'll come to pass. That whatever you ask in my name, then I will give it to you. So then we're told that whatever we say, he said that if you'll forgive men their trespasses, if you'll clean up your heart, if you'll get unbelief out of your life, he said, whatever you say, you can have. All you've got to do it is say it. And it'll come to pass. Whatever you say, he said, you can have. If you say it, don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you say will come to pass. Jesus said you can have whatever you say. Jesus was a man like I'm a man. He was a human being like you're a human being. But when he walked this earth, when he wanted something, he said it. He didn't doubt. He said it. He said it when he walked up to the tomb of Lazarus. As he stood there at the tomb of Lazarus, this is what he said. He said, Father, I know that thou hearest me always, but for those that stand by, I've said it, that they might believe in you. He said, whatever I say, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Death couldn't hold him. Lazarus came forth. Now, somebody would say, how did that happen, Brother Pike? It happened one way. And that is because he believed what he said would come to pass. Whatever he said, he believed it would come to pass. And it happened. And he turned to his followers and he said to them, he said, whatever you say, if you don't doubt and believe in your heart, he said, that those things that you say will come to pass. He said, you'll have whatsoever you say. And then when he cursed the fig tree, and Peter marveled, and Peter said, look, this tree is withered up from the roots. Jesus looked at him and spoke to him and said, I tell you that whatever you say, whatever you can believe in your heart, if you don't doubt, you can have whatever you say. Folks, isn't that a challenge? Isn't that some great challenge? What is that? Whatever we say, all we've got to do is get a hold of faith. That is what is so beautiful. You know, I'm always searching. The Bible said, contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. I couldn't operate here if it wasn't for faith. I couldn't have my health if it wasn't for faith. Satan fights me every way with everybody, everywhere. But by faith in God, I continue on. And I continue to do what I'm doing for God and will continue right on throughout the world. Why? By faith in God, because he said, whatever you say, you can have it. And I learned that whatever I say, I can have it. So then I'm contending for the faith. I'm looking for this great faith. What kind of faith is it? It's the faith of Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ, he had the faith that sanctified me. He had the faith that whatever he said, that faith didn't waver. That faith didn't waver. He tells me to contend for that faith. That faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. So then, I'm looking for the faith of Christ. I'm looking for the faith of Christ. I've got to have the faith of Christ. That sure faith. That word of God that says it, and I believe it. Faith by the hearing of the word of God. So then the miraculous can take place at any time, anywhere, all because you say it and believe it. But I tell you again, you cannot put it in a future tense. You cannot go around with the thoughts that God is going to heal somebody, or with the thoughts that God's going to heal me. That isn't going to get you healed, and that isn't going to get anybody else healed. You can't go around with the thoughts God's going to bless me. Because that isn't going to get you blessed. That isn't going to do any good in blessing you. Because if today I think God is going to bless me, then tomorrow I'll think that God is going to bless me. And the next day I'll think that God's going to bless me. And my blessing never gets around. I think that God's going to heal me. And tomorrow I think that God's going to heal me. But my healing never comes. But when I get to the place to where I give the praise and honor to God that he is deserving of, where the Bible said all of these things come upon you because you serve not the Lord thy God with joyfulness of heart, when I get to the place to where I am praising God for all things and giving glory to God for all things, thanking God for what he's done for me, then the healing will take place. Then the miracle will take place. Then the things of God will take place. Because I've got to bring them into a present tense or present place of life. I've got to make him a present help in the time of need. I've got to believe that by his stripes I was healed. I've got to believe that he's given me all things that pertain unto life. I've got to believe that he had already taken me from death unto life, and I passed from death unto life. I've got to believe that all of these things are already past. All of these things are already done. I've got to believe that when Jesus hung there at Calvary and he said that it's finished, that it was finished in my behalf. And I've got to believe that I am complete in him. And I've got to get away from the observation of these things around me that align vanities, that war against my mind. For in observing those, I forsake my mercy that's in Calvary, in the abundance of the atonement. So then I've got to get the weeds out of my garden, as I said this morning. I've got to keep them out. I've got to think the thoughts of Christ. That's all I can think. I've got to keep those things pouring into my mind and into my heart. And I've got to get away from my own thinking and my own reasoning. I've got to get away from that because the Bible teaches that I'm to cast down imagination in every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. That I must bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. That I must not think my own thoughts, and I'm not to lean to my own understanding, but to trust in the Lord with all of my heart. I've got to come to the place to where I trust God with all of my heart. And I believe in God in every way, and I believe that what God has said, he will do. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith, fully persuaded that what God had promised he was also able to perform. 32,000 promises, it is said, that's in this book towards you and I. We've got to believe in those promises, that what God has promised, that God is also able to perform. If God said it, I believe it. Yea and amen. No alterations. No wondering about it. What God said, that's the way that it is. So then when we live that kind of life, if God said be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin, if that's what God said, if that's what the Word said, go do it. Don't question it, immediately do it. If God said live as becometh holiness, talk as becometh holiness, let your conversation be holy, don't question God, do exactly what God said. And then if God said by His stripes you're healed, believe it. Believe it. If you'll conform to one thing, you'll conform to another. If you'll procrastinate in one thing, you'll procrastinate in another. If somebody comes to me and I tell them the right thing to do and then they go do contrary to it, from then on I'm persuaded that they will never do what's right because they have proved their nature. They proved the kind of person that they are. And I know for sure that they'll never do right. See, so if God tells you something and you don't do it, then God's convinced that you're not going to serve Him. See, having come to the knowledge of the truth and then going contrary to the truth, then that means that you have turned away from the truth and the Word of God and that you've cut yourself off. So then, whatever God says, do it. God will hasten to perform His Word. God will not alter the thing that's gone out of His mouth. God will tell you and God will do it. And this is the way that we should look at it. This is the way that we should think of it. If I, as your preacher today, or I, as the minister today, come to you and told you something, you'd believe it. Most of you would believe it. You wouldn't spend all day going around doubting it. You'd accept it. You'd say, Brother Pike, he seems to be a man of his word, and I believe that he'll do it, or he'll make an effort, whereas I could fail to do it because I'm a human being. But see, with God, there is no failure. There is no alteration. There is no change. His word is confirmed. It's settled in heaven. So then when God says it, we should say, God said it. If God said it, my human reasoning isn't going to talk me out of it. If God desires it, I'm not going to let anything talk me out of it. Whatever God said, that's the way it is. I believe what God said about it. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to program my mind with it. I'm going to walk in the word. I'm going to pull close to God. The Bible said, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. I'm going to pull in close to God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to study the Word. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to make it a practice in my life to do exactly what God has told me to do. So, we see that nothing shall be impossible to them that believe. If thou canst believe, Jesus said, all things are possible to them that believe. And nothing is impossible with God. If you desire a thing, when you pray, believe that you receive it, and you shall have it. I've got people here, I've got numbers of people here at Bethlehem. And I know of people that's out on the field I've been associated with. I've seen them put faith into practice. And I've seen them marvel at the way God answered and brought the desire of their heart. I've seen Brother Jimmy back here many multiplied times use faith. He had a desire, purpose in his heart, he could have it and could get it, and Jimmy got it, and everything he's ever wanted, just one thing right after another. Got it. See, why? Because we walk in the Spirit, we talk with God, we do the things that's pleasing with God. Well, let me tell you, when you begin to drift away from God, and you begin to get back in the flesh, and you begin to do the things of the world, you're going to find out that faith is going to stop working. You're going to find out that faith is going to go down because the very same thing as to conformity that brought the faith into the place that it's in, that very same thing, if you reverse it, will take it back down. Fear is faith in reverse. And when you start fearing, then you start believing in the wrong direction and believing Satan into power instead of believing God into power in your life. So then, put away unbelief. Do away with all of your trespasses. Ask God forgiveness for them. And then forgive everybody else their trespasses against you, that your faith might be perfect in God. You know, Paul said one time that I strive always to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and God. This is the way you keep faith. And so then God was upset with Zechariah. See, Gabriel said, he said to Zechariah, I'm an angel. Gabriel from God, I'm standing here in your presence. I am Gabriel, he said, that standeth in the presence of Almighty God. Almighty God, I stand in his presence. And I come down here in your human presence. And I tell you a word from God. And then you ask me for a sign. And he was upset. He said, you'll be dumb until the child is born because you didn't believe my words. Know that God has his way in all things, as I said a little earlier today. God did that so that everybody would marvel and say, what thing is this that he has seen? What is this that's about to happen? See, everybody for 9 months, they would say, my God, what is this? The man can't speak. The priest can't speak. And that would make them know that something has happened. And would know that this child that was to be born is going to be all out of the ordinary. It would shake up the whole community, shake up the whole town. God allowed that. But at the same time, it is a true fact that God didn't like it because he didn't believe. So, we know then without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible said he that cometh to God must first believe that he is, and then believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If the preacher preaches something to you as to deliverance, you should believe it. See, I say unto you again, I can't go around putting the thing in the future or looking for someday. I can't do that. See, I've got to decree the thing in my heart. See, God is at the control of a human being. God has placed himself under the command of a human being. And God has said, command thou me concerning the works of my hand. Whatever I promised you, whatever I've created, I'm God. I create all things. And he said, now command thou me concerning the works of my hand. What would you like to have? All you've got to do is command thou me. How can I command God? By faith of Jesus Christ. Because God, who is a spirit, has given himself into the hands of Christ Jesus. He alone is heir to the glory. And the faith of Jesus Christ has complete control of God Almighty. Whatever Christ says, it happens. And how can I then be partakers of it? As he is, so am I and he. Whatever Christ did, he did it for me. It did it for my sake. So then God says to me, command thou me concerning the works of my hand. How can I do that? By contending for the faith. By coming into the faith of Jesus Christ. By getting the faith by which I'm sanctified to take hold in my heart and get that faith of Jesus Christ down inside of me. And then that faith will command God concerning anything that I want. Anything that I want, I just touch God with that faith and it happens just like that. And so that I'm working, as Paul said, to be one in life, to where I can say it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I live by the Son of God. That when you see me, I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That this is the faith of Christ. And that whatever I touch with the faith of Christ, it'll come to pass just like that. So then you can see that God was very displeased here with the way that Zechariah received the angel, saying, nothing shall be impossible with God. Nothing shall be impossible. Look at the difference. When the angel, the same angel Gabriel, came to Mary, and this angel said, Mary, you're going to have a child. That was impossible. Mary never doubted. She never doubted that. It's obvious that the Bible declares she never doubted that. All she did was say, how? I believe it. If you say it, I believe it. Be it unto the handmaid as it will. What you said, I believe it. Every bit of it, I believe it. And it was so because when she went before Elizabeth, Elizabeth said, and there shall be a performance of these things, Mary, that the angel has told thee.
Blessed art thou because thou hast believed. So then, Mary said, how can this be? Nevertheless, I believe it. If you say it, I believe it. Don't know how. The angel said, the great Holy Spirit shall come over you, Mary, and there shall be divine conception. You know, this is what happens to you and I when we are virgins to God, when we don't mess around with the world, when we don't play around with Lucifer, and we come before him as chaste virgins. Paul said, I have espoused you to one. And he said, I seek to present you unto God as a chaste virgin. So then when we become virgins before God, the Bible speaks of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins. When we become virgins before God, we receive a divine conception. The Holy Ghost overshadows us, and we receive that divine conception by the seed of divinity. When we receive this divine conception, then Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. This Christ child begins to form in our life. And then the minister travails and the people travail until this Christ child is born into the world. God is bringing forth a Christ child. The songwriter said, and he's bringing forth a man child in you and in me. God is bringing forth a man child in you and in me. He's trying to change this nature of ours, change our way of life, change our mode of thinking, bring every thought into subjection to where it's not us but Christ. And then through that wonderful faith of God and that power of God, that potentiality of that invisible force that I spoke of this morning, it comes from glory to glory and from faith to faith, penetrating from within the kingdom of God within you. It comes out of the Spirit of God, out of the Spirit of Christ, begins to penetrate these blood genetics, and the first news you know, the fashion of your countenance is being altered, and like Jesus, as he appeared with Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, you find as it was with Moses, the light glowing through, for wisdom maketh the man's face to shine. And you find that wisdom penetrating as it did Stephen's, when they beheld his face as an angel. And as Moses, when Moses was on the mountain, had to put the veil over his face. And as it was with Jesus, when the Bible said in his raiment glistened. So then God is bringing forth that child in you and I. He's bringing forth that mind. You're travailing to make that mind perfect, to make every thought his thought. And you're travailing to get out every other thought. It is a travail to get that other thought out, to get that other mind of corruption out. So then you see what a wonderful thing it is to be a Christian. God doesn't like unbelief. God doesn't want unbelief. God wants us to walk with him. He wants us to walk with him every day. Somebody say praise the Lord. God wants us to have faith. It displeased him when Zacharias doubted. So then don't doubt. Jesus many times said, don't doubt, just believe. Whatever you believe, you can have it. I like to practice faith. That's a challenge to me. That's a challenge to my faith. And think what it would be like. I just want you to think on this as we close here. Think what it would be like having this great opportunity, this great benefit. Think what it would be like that if you live your life here and then got ready to depart and you look back and you think, My God, I had a challenge from Christ to do anything. All I had to do was believe. And I wouldn't spend any time perfecting my faith. Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. He said, the ministry is set there for the perfecting of your faith. So then you say, I haven't spent any time perfecting my faith. I spent all of my life in the gullible desire of the beggarly elements of this world and being in bondage to those things, when I could have been mighty and powerful and great just by perfecting my faith and working with my faith and giving a little time to making that faith work. And folks, it will work. To make it work. My, what you could do by faith in God. And then to think that you would lose that opportunity, that would be taken away from you, and that you would foolishly use your life and lose that wonderful potentiality given you from God.
So then, folks, I like to try to believe and I like to do something for God. It's my desire, my wholehearted desire, to do something for God, to believe, to work with my faith and to contend for the faith that was delivered unto the saints of God. All right, let's stand together. Not going to hold you long. We had quite a bit of singing. Preliminary. I'm not going to hold you long, but I want to remind you again tonight that this is your opportunity. If you're willing to throw it away, to sell your birthright for a morsel of bread, to be in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world, then what can I say? What can I do? Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Jesus, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me now. For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can you sing it again? For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest that may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Can we sing this little chorus together? Give me another key. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Just let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. I know I got it just a little bit high, but I was going to sing it there anyway. Doesn't matter. Drop it just a little bit. Let's sing it again. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. I'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control.
And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. You love the Lord? Sing it one more time. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve the living God that has control. And if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my soul. Don't you like being a Christian? I'm just a little hoarse, but you can sing anyway. I'm so glad to be a Christian. I wouldn't trade Christianity for nothing. There's not anything in this world that I would trade my Christian experience for. To be a Christian, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus on earth alone, to be like Him. You love the Lord? Let's sing that little chorus, to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, just to be like Jesus, on this earth I long, just to be like Him, all through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like Him. From Bethlehem's manger came forth the stranger. On this earth I long, just to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask just to be like Him. God has given us the opportunity to be like Jesus. We're commanded to follow in His steps. The Bible said He did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus on earth alone, to be like Him all through life's journey, from earth to glory, I long be like Him. Just to be like Jesus. This is the way. Let's sing this little chorus. Oh, tell me His name again, and sing me that sweet refrain of Him who in love came down from above to die on the cross in shame. The story my heart has stirred, it's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, it brings me hope and cheer. Tell me His name again. Oh, tell me His name again, and sing to me that sweet refrain of Him who in love came down from above to die on the cross in shame. The story
my heart is dirt. It's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, brings hope and cheer. Tell me his name. Can you sing it again? Won't you tell me his name again? Sing to me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross in shame. The story my heart has stirred. It's the sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear and brings hope and cheer. Tell me his name again. You know, they say that there was a missionary that was in the fields, barn fields. He was preaching, and people had come from a long ways to hear him preach. And said this one particular person that had come such a long, long, long way. Said he heard him preach, and then he left and went on his journey home. Then when he got home, he forgot the name that the missionary kept calling, the name Jesus. He forgot it. He couldn't remember it. And it is said that he turned and walked all of this great distance back to the missionary. And he said to the missionary, said, would you tell me his name again? And the missionary, or someone so inspired, wrote the song, Tell Me His Name Again. Let's sing it one more time, can we? Oh, tell me his name again. Sing me that sweet refrain of him who in love came down from above to die on the cross in shame. The story my heart has stirred. The sweetest that I've ever heard. It banishes fear, brings me hope and cheer. Tell me his name again. While we sing this little chorus together, if you'd like to come to the altar, you may. Let's sing it. Sing the song, There's Room at the Cross for You.
There's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Would you like to come tonight? Come into my heart. Oh, come into my heart. Just come into my heart.
Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
One more time.
Come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for my mother and father. It was good for my mother and my father. It was good for my mother and my father. And it's good for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. It will do when the world's on fire. It will do when the world's on fire. It will do when the world's on fire. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough. Somebody say hallelujah. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good. Can you say praise the Lord? Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? Give me that old-time. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good. Try it one more time. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Let's give the Lord a hand.
Hallelujah. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me.
Let's sing it one more time.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me.
Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands up? Lifting your hands up to heaven tonight. I want to get Ray to come up and pray, if you will. Me and Ray was together today taking dinner, talking some, and something happened today that had to do with the rending of the veil. And we just had a good time in the Lord. While Ray's here with you to pray tonight, I want you to think it over, folks. You've never made the great commitment unto God, then I ask you to make the great commitment. You've never given your heart to God, now's the time. The Bible teaches that I am persuaded, Paul speaking, I'm persuaded to believe that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that great day. If you haven't given your heart to God, don't leave tonight until you do. Don't leave until you do. Be sure tonight that you surrender your heart to God. When we leave this building, let it be that every person in this building will go away saying it is good to have been in the house of God and go away with faith and salvation in their lives and in their hearts. Let's give Him a hand one more time, can't we?